You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. And we have been trying to share together the wonderful person of God. And we can know and enjoy God because we understand him. How can we understand him except he help us? And so he's given us the names, his name, and then he's given us his name outworked in life, as you'll see again. And that name is giving us all through history. He always makes himself known in a very special way to his people, to the need of his people. And that's why we have that collection of names. And we've looked at a little bit of them, a few of them. And in doing so, we took his name, Jehovah, or Yahweh, or a contraction of the Lord, and that's the little word J-A-W. And here in Exodus chapter 15, in the Song of Moses, you have in chapter 15, verse 2, you have the little word. It's written L-O-R-D, about that particular place in there. It's a G-A-W or Y-A-W, the contraction for Jehovah, shrunk. And thus, when God uses the name, and he puts them together a couple of times, when he does that, that's the highest name he has. It's his unique name. I am that I am. That's unique. I am. And thus we have God's name, his unique name, because he's a unique person. And being so very, very unique, we said he is our English word, ultimate. He is that's his ultimate name, He is the ultimate person. There's no one beyond, outside of, apart from him. He is the one, the ultimate one. And thus you'll notice, as you would read in verse 2, the Lord is my strength, said Moses. He's my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, a resting place. My father's God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and I will exalt him. And you notice in verse 2, he has become my salvation. We have just gone through and crossed the Red Sea. All the Egyptian army is gone, and we're here, standing on the other side, in the Sinai Peninsula. Wow. God, you did something wonderful. You did so many wonderful things in Egypt, and now you just did a wonderful thing in having us cross the Red Sea. You have become, and we shared together last time a little bit, that he is God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, I-S. And all that he is, he becomes. All that he is, he can become. In other words, he's everything. But you and I, in our interacting with him in the person of our Lord, and biblically recorded, he only expresses himself in part. But he's everything. And thus he becomes. So under the right conditions and the right situation, he becomes to us. He became to Moses. I am that I am, and he became whatever Moses needed to be, whatever the people needed to be. God would become. That means he already was and already is, but he doesn't show it. He has to show it. So when we look to God, we understand he already is God. Well, how big is G-O-D? Very, very big. How big? Endlessly big. Endlessly big. He is the sum. He is the sum of all dynamic existence. He is it. In God, remember there's nothing outside of God. There is no space, no distance, nothing. Just wonderfully God. And God created all of the universe and all of the heavens with all of the billions of galaxies, making it, giving us a way to understand God, so that as we study and explore the universe, we are made aware that we haven't even scratched the surface of the stars of the universe. And all we can do is talk about it in galaxies, and we can use the word trillion, trillions, trillions of miles. We can say billions of galaxies. We can use those words. And all it does is tell us that we're it's big. And it's bigger than we can comprehend, bigger than we can handle. And all of it is very big, and it's all very little. Very little because it's only a drop in the bucket in the light of God. It's in the middle of God. How do we know time? We appreciate time. Time, we have seasons, day, night, winter, summer, spring. We have all of the seasons, and they come and go, and the years come and go. And in all of that, what are we learning? Well, there is time, but there's also eternity. And everything that we see, the rising of the sun and all of the winter seasons, all of them come and go and remind us of time. And time reminds us, if we're paying attention, of timelessness. Timelessness. And we need to understand that because eternity houses time. Time is housed by eternity. And eternity answers. Eternity answers to God. God is eternal. Everything, the sum total of all eternity is God. He is. So here's the sum and substance of the whole thing. So now, having said that, and then he has a creation, that's his purpose of creation, is to reveal him, the Creator. And he does so from God's point of view in a minuscule way, from our point of view in an infinite way. Wow. And so we have thousands of different bugs and spiders and birds and bees and fish and germs and bacteria. Thousands and thousands, and then how many thousands have died, and no one seems to care. You know, they're trying to save the green cricket, you know. And do you know how many other colored crickets are all gone through history? History is full of all the things that once existed that don't exist anymore. And there's no problem to that. But the world gets caught up sometime in such things. So here we are, God, looking, and we have all of your creativity, but you have done something wonderful for us. You have narrowed down the infinite. You have brought your person. You created us in your person, in your image and likeness. And God, you brought it all down for us so that we could handle it. In a wonderful way, God, we can know you. And we are able to do that because you have taken your infinite, invisible person and brought it forth in the lovely person of our Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea, so that we can come to grips. We could, as 1 John 1 would say, we touched him. We sat down with him. He handed us food. We handed him food. We were with him. We could come to grips with God. When you came to grips with him, you came to grips with eternity. See, that's hard, isn't it? It's eternity. God, when I touched you, I touched forever. That's right. That's right. So now, God, here you are, trying to get a handle on it. And remember, the Lord Jesus said, as you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the Antichrist great movement, spirit of Antichrist, is that the Lord, we've said it 10 times of late, to remind ourselves, what is the issue? It isn't Jesus isn't a nice person, and he died on the cross because he loved us, and he's a special somebody or something. No, he's God, and that's the big push. The devil doesn't want anyone anywhere to know and honor him as God. He's God. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you received whom? God. God, the infinite God. That's who you received. If you get saved, you can't get saved unless that happened. Wow. But how many so-called Christians know that? Even think it. They live their whole days, weeks, months, and it never occurs to them. Oh, we pray to God, we go to church, and we read, and we sing. And where there's God, and if we're in trouble, we pray to God. But you're housing God. If we just stopped and you let that sink in, assuming you're saved. And if you aren't saved, I'd be saved. Being saved is such a marvelous thing. Why? Because what it means. It means that the infinite God has connected with you, the same as God connected with his Son and brought him to Calvary's cross, made it possible so that he could connect to you just like that, just like his Son. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me. If you see my disciples, you have seen me. If you see the church, the local church, not a people sitting all the time, but real believers that are gathered together, then that's where Christ is. And how you speak and think of the church is how you think and speak of Christ. You can't speak of Christ and over here plus a negative over here. You can't do that. You can't do that. No, sir. People do it all the time because they don't understand that they represent God. Now, having said that, and we share together that in the process, in Hebrew thinking, Semitic thought, the brick wall, the wall of the brick, Jehovah, God, the Lord, has his ways and the ways of Jehovah, the ways of the Lord. So whenever you speak of God, you speak of all of his love. You speak of God. You cannot, love is never detached. Love belongs to God. Peace belongs to God. Power belongs to God. God belongs to power. Power belongs to God. They all belong. You can't separate them. That's wonderful. Because when I look to God and trust him, I'm able to come to grips with the totality, the fullness of God's wonderful person. Nothing's missing. When I received him as my Savior, when you did, you got all of God. And we've shared it how many times. You cannot have any more of God. You can either exercise that relationship or not. But you can't have any more. No more. God's already done who he is. You must believe that I am. And that's a starting point. So now, having said that, and keeping that in the front, if you would, so to see God, you must have his character and conduct. God's character and conduct always are connected to his person. So now, over in Genesis 22. Genesis and 22. 32. Genesis 32. You remember now Jacob. And Jacob is at the end of his journey in the sense of running away from God and wrestling out things. And finally, he has to come to confront Esau, his brother, and God himself. And here in chapter 32, Genesis, you'll remember that Esau, being a coward, and you'll appreciate, God said, in Psalm 40 and all that, 46, I am the God of Jacob. And then he speaks to Israel. Jacob, thou worm. Jacob representing Israel. Thou worm. You're not worms. Worms are becoming out pretty soon. Worms, little old worms. God, what are you doing? God said, I'm the God of Jacob. And so, here's Jacob trying to get away, running. He puts everyone out in front, remember? Going to see Esau coming at him. And he has the children, the women, the animals, and everything in front. He's way in the back. And then he has them all go forward, and he turns around and tries to run away. So Esau, he'll see everybody but Jacob. Jacob's going to be gone. And of course, as he goes to cross the brook there, the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, is there and for him. Personally, the pre-incarnate Christ is there to wrestle with him. Remember, he's trying to run away, and he stops him. Now, so picking up in thought, in verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Now remember, God has crippled them, you know, just a little tap on the hip, and that took care of that. And in verse 27, he said unto him, what is thy name? The pre-incarnate Christ, the Lord Jesus, asked what his name was. He said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with man, and hast prevailed. Israel, a prince, power with God. You're going to be from Jacob to a supplanter to power with God, Israel. That's his name. He represents the whole nation. And thus, verse 29, Jacob turns around and asked him and said, tell me, that's a command, request, entreaty. He said, well, hey, you ask my name, giving you the mood. You ask my name, what's your name? What's your name? You just made me a cripple. What's your name, by the way? Tell me. Verse 29. I pray thee thy name. And he said, wherefore or why is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he never answered him. All he did was bless him. Bless him. That's what he did. He crippled him, and then he blessed him. Remember Jacob, in verse 26, the end of the verse, except thou bless me. Well, God crippled him, and then he blessed him. Blessed him. And that's all he said. He never gave him his name. What's your name? And all Jacob could do is name the place, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is spared. I've seen God face to face, the face of God. Here I am, God has, and he knew that. God put him out, ran the wrestle with him. And how did you explain that, Jacob? If someone asked you right then, it was God. You mean the angel, the man, the thing, the God, the man that wrestled with you and then blessed you is God. He said, that's right. That's God. Now, and God blessed him. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to Judges, want to know his name. So, just picking up the sequence, Judges chapter 13, you'll recall. And remember that the Manoah and his wife were unable to, had no children, and they're going to have children, they're going to have a baby. And the baby's name is going to be Samson. Going to have the Samson. He's the next to the last judge. Samuel is the last one, Samson ahead of him. It's actually, Samson and Samuel are like this, walking, ministering. Now, chapter 13 in Judges. And so Manoah is looking to the Lord, who's there and made the agreement for a child. And Manoah said, verse 15, unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee while we shall, and until we shall have made ready a kid for thee, a good hospitality, a meal. And the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, said unto him, Manoah, although thou hast detained me, I will not eat of thy bread. If thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that it was an angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is your name? What is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. We want to give credit where it's due. You made some wonderful statements of what's going to happen. And God, we want to give, sir, we want to give you credit. Verse 19. And by the way, verse 18. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou after my name? Remember, Jacob, why do you want to know my name? And he never answered him, except Jacob knew he was God. And a whole lot of answers. God, whatever you say or don't say. Now, verse 18. Angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou after my name? Seeing it is secret, secret. And remember, the word secret comes from the verb to be, divide, to separate, to distinguish, to make something, single it out, to separate something and pull it out and give it special distinction, to make something very special, astounding, miraculous, extraordinary is the word, a word, extraordinary, wonderful. Seeing my name is secret, astonishing. It's astonishing. Seeing my name is that. My name is a wonderful name. It's a wonderful name. Incredible name. Majestic name. Extraordinary. My name is. And we've been trying to get his name. Why? Because if we pray anything in Jesus' name, what? He hears us. I want to know his name. You want to know. We want to be believers that are connected. Wow. God help us. Now, having said that, seeing it is secret or wonderful, verse 18. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. Now there's the verb for the word secret. You now go to the verb wondrously, extraordinarily, most astonishingly. Seeing the angel did wondrously. He did something extraordinary. And Manoah and his wife looked on. And it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and he just disappeared. The flame went up, whew, and he was gone. Wow. That's extraordinary. A wonder. A wonder. Wow. Ah. Now, and verse 20, and Manoah, the end of the verse, and Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their face to the ground. Verse 21, and the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife, to his wife. Then Manoah knew that it was an angel of the Lord. Now watch, an angel of the Lord, verse 22, and Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen what? God. Jacob, did you know? I did. Manoah, did you know? Did you know that that person that you just tried to feed, that just went up in the fire, do you know who he is? He's wonderfully, miraculously, astoundingly so, God. They knew God. The trouble is today and anywhere, the so-called believers, as for the most part, are not realizing God. Now, over if you would to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And if I can, Psalm 139. And you know David. David is going to go and help us. Psalm 139 says, listen, there's nowhere in forever you can hide from God, the ever presence of God. He's everywhere. He's in the closet. He's under the bed. He's already ahead of you, and the clock hasn't even ticked by. He's everywhere. God, always, forever. There's nowhere to go. See, that's why we try to block it out with religion and different philosophy and things, and we try to be active enough to make sure we forget about God. See, we lose him. That's our point. We want to get rid of him because God, if I really think like that, boy, is it going to change, isn't it? It's going to change what you say, what you do, how you act. It's going to change for real. We don't want to, boy, we don't mind being Christian and sit in church, but to have that, That means 24 hours a day. I never escape his presence. Bless your heart. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? He's God. God in you. Oh, I'm just a Christian. I don't know what you just said. God in me. I'm not like that. But then you aren't a Christian. You have to have God in you, or you're not a Christian. Now. In Psalm, David, 139, verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful, extraordinary, stupendous, superhuman, beyond all understanding. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. I can't come to grips with the fact I can't get away from God. And, by the way, down to verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous, there's your word, extraordinary, extraordinary. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. God, you know all about me. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God, I wasn't dreaming, was I? I thought I was dreaming. And I wake up, and it's still true. You are God. And it's no dream. It's no dream. It's no make-believe. It's no... No, it isn't. So now, God, your thoughts to me, of me. Now, God, if you think like that about me, then verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, put me on trial to the test, and know my thoughts. God, you know extraordinary thoughts more than the sand of the sea about me. I want you to help me with my thinking. My thinking, God, so I think right. God, I don't want to think wrong. I want to think right. Search me, O God, and help me with my thoughts so that my thoughts will follow after your thoughts. And like Joshua of old and all the others, you know, God said, meditate, I meditate, don't go to the right, don't go to the left, don't add, don't subtract. Meditate, rest your heart down on who I am and what I said. God, I want to know. I want to be able to think like that. Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, then, over in, while you're here, Psalm 40. Psalm 40. And may I pick up, please, in verse 5 again, David, your thoughts. Many, verse 5, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, extraordinary things that you do. God, wonderful things that you do. Supernatural. Astounding. Wow. Therefore, wonderful works, there's your verb, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. They can't calculate. How am I going to count them? And if I would declare and try to do it, speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. So I have my calculator. My calculator goes up to so many digits, and that's all it does. I get a big calculator, I can go up to more digits. And then a big calculator, I can go up to a whole lots of digits. And there is no calculator for me to get, God, that can count your thoughts, which are higher than the heavens, God. There just isn't any. So now, God, in the light of that, over to Psalm 106. Now, what did Israel not do? Remember, they should have been taken with what God does with Manoah, Jacob with the getting struck in the hip, and then Manoah with a God going up in the fire. Wow. Psalm 106. And looking at Israel, please, if I can, in verse 6. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders. Now there's your word. The extraordinary things you did. Thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, the Red Sea, even at the Red Sea. Well, Moses sang, but the people weren't of the same mood to sing like Moses did. No. So now, God, having said that, they didn't understand the wonders, the marvelous, extraordinary, wonderful things that you did. They didn't understand that. But, all be encouraged. Nevertheless, verse 8, he saved them. And the reason, they aren't tuned in to God. Moses is. Aaron is.
the rest of them aren't. They aren't tuned in. So what do we know? What did you do, God? Why did you do it? Why don't you just open the Red Sea and then drown them and start all over again? You know, but God didn't do that. Why not? For his great name's sake. Because of who he is. What have we been looking at? We're trying to understand God is always and only going to honor his name, account of his fame. That's what he's going to do. He's going to honor his wonderful person. That's what God's going to do. You can count on it. So whatever you're, wherever you are, at morning, noon, and night, easy, hard, much, little, what do you know? God is going to be God. You are in his presence. You can never leave it. And God is going to honor his name always in your presence. He isn't going to honor your situation, your circumstances. He's going to honor his name. And if you are looking to know his name, to exercise, you know, like Psalm 9, they that know his name are benefited, blessed. Well, I want to know his name. I know what he does. It's kind of his name. It's a wondrous name, an awesome name, an indescribable name. There's no way, God, we can put it together. It's extraordinary. Now, nevertheless, he saved them, verse 8, for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power be known. So, God, you're going to do what you're going to do. And that's the starting point. I'm with God. I'm in the presence of God. God's going to honor his name. I'm looking for God to honor his wonderful presence, to honor his wonderful name, character. God is who he is, and he will become to me now what I need. And I'm understanding. And God will be consistent. His judgment over here, but his mercy here, and they have, you got the whole ball of wax. You got God and his totality. So you don't have, boy, God's chastening me. And the one who's chastening you is the one who's blessing you. He chastened Jacob. I bet you would not be happy if you had your hip knocked out. And there was no hip replacement back then. You know. And wow. So we're going to look to God. We're going to learn to look to God. Trust God. Now. So, in the light of that. Over, if you would please, over to Job. Job chapter 1. And you would note with Job, just to remind us so we get the setting of it, refresh in our mind. In Job chapter 1, verse 8, remember, the devil wanted to go, Satan wanted to go and put Job to the test. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect, a complete and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth, hateth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught, for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Hast thou blessed the work of his hands, and the substance, and his substance is increased in the land? Put forth thine hand now, and touch him, all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And God, you know, he's only there because of all the good things you give him. Give me, give me, give me, like we did on Sunday, you know. As long as you're healing, signs, wonders, everything. God, that's a wonder. I love him. I want to be with him. I don't want to be with him as God, my God, in me, because then I have to change. But I like all the things he can do for me and all the things he can make happen. That's the wrong way, wrong kind of belief. Here's Job. Job, you're going to be tested. And you know how Job did. How did Job do? He had all of it in one day, I mean. And in verse 21, Job's response, all his children, cattle, everyone, you know. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return hither. thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He didn't charge God foolishly. He's smart enough to keep quiet. And that's a lot, what's happening. I mean, you should yell out or something when all of that happens. And one day, everything gone. And you and your wife are looking out there at what's gone, what's left. Woo, nothing. Wow. God, are you finished? No, I'm not. And is the devil finished? No. And so, remember, the devil said that wasn't enough, so you got to go further. And wanted to go, and since he couldn't kill Job, he wanted to be able to go and plague him, which God allowed. And Satan answered, verse 4, chapter 2, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his own life. For his own skin he'll do it. And put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, remember Jacob, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is thine, he is in thine hand, so the devil could do but save his life. You can't take his life. Verse 7, So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto the crown of his head. And you have to have, think about that for a second, if you like, going from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. And there's nowhere relief. Nowhere there's any relief. Anywhere. Wow. You know, I had poison ivy once, I told you once, when out here, way back in the beginning, when this wasn't here. And we had it here, and we were burning the brush, so I guess we were getting ready, and we burned all the big brush back here, and had a big fire going back then when you could have fires and shoot woodchucks, you know. And we could do it. And we had a big fire, and by burning, and I had my shirt off, you know, hot day, burning, and did all that. And when the day was done, I went in, and I started to itch, and I burned poison ivy. And the poison ivy was all over me, from head to toe, everywhere. And the only relief I had, they didn't have what they have today, whatever. And so we went in the bathtub, which I never get in the bathtub. In the bathtub. And which go all the way under and hope that the baking soda or whatever it was, you know, make you feel better. Job, I have no idea what you went through. Now, Job, I'm interested, how are you doing? And if I can, chapter 2, verse 8. And he took him a pot sure to scrape himself withal, and sat down among the ashes, Job trying to relieve himself from all the boils. Verse 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. I mean, why bother? You're fighting, you're losing battle. Verse 10, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. He never said one boo against God. Wow. And God put him through the mill. He did. And God did, you're a wonderful God. And Job will say it. And he'll say it all the way to the end now. He's going to say it. His fellow friends that are trying to help him, they're going to use the word, God is wonderful, extraordinary. And Job, you're working through this. What's the point? I want to discover. I don't want to get relieved. I don't want my family back. I don't want anything. God, I just want to understand you. Thus you know, chapter 42. And in chapter 42, picking up, in thought. Verse 1, Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. I am and I become whatever I need to be. And that no thought, your thoughts are higher than the heavens, and your thoughts about me are more than can be numbered. So here they are all taking place. And that no thought can be holden from thee. I want you to help me with my thoughts, God, like David. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. What's that? Things too wonderful, extraordinary, stupendous, magnificent, superhuman for me, which I knew not. God, I had no idea of the wonderment of your ability to do what you do in the way that you do it, having all knowledge and perfect wisdom, exercising your providential management of the universe of my life, God. It is a wondrous thing, God. It is a wondrous thing, God, that you have done. I didn't understand it. It's extraordinary. Extraordinary. Your name. Your wondrous name. I am being who I am. And I will become all that I am. All that I already am, I'll become. And it will be an endless journey. That's why heaven is so exciting. Because it's an endless journey. For God to be endlessly, that's another hard thing, isn't it? To be endlessly God. Forever. That's so hard, isn't it? That can't be. What is? That is. Now, so having said that, and remember, God blessed him and doubled it all up. Doubled everything and gave him blessing and God. And he grew old with all his in fullness of days. Verse 17. Now, having said that, over if you would please to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. And we'll try to quickly close with that. I think you get it. No, Jeremiah, the captivity is there. Nebuchadnezzar, going to take the city, temple, everything. And thus, Jeremiah is told to go buy a piece of property, knowing that Nebuchadnezzar is going to take it, and to go buy a piece of property in faith, believing that you'll be able to have it again after 70 years. You can have it again. I'll give the property back. I'm going to bring the property back. I'm going to give it, take it away and bring it back. Do you believe me? And Jeremiah went out and bought the property. And thus in verse 16. Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, that's his secretary, I prayed unto the Lord. Now what did you say, Jeremiah? You honored God like Job. He did not sin. He did not open his mouth. And if there was ever a time to say something, that was it. And Job didn't do it. No, did it. He didn't do it. So, verse 17. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing, as you remember, too hard is the word wonderful, extraordinary, distinguished. Astounding, superhuman. There's nothing to say it simply, wonderful little word, four letters, nothing too hard for you. You are and you become whatever is needed, whatever needs to be done. What an extraordinary thing. And thus you come over at the end of the prayer of Jeremiah. God answers them. Wonderful. 32 and verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh, And then he echoes what Jeremiah said. Is there anything too hard, extraordinary for me? I am what I am, and I become what is needed. You're right, Jeremiah, Jacob, Job, Manoah. Here we are, God. Now, so therefore, don't try to shrink God down to be your size, man's size. Person. Don't try to shrink God. To be able to grasp him. If I could just get a handle on God. If I could just get a handle on it. All of this is way beyond me. You bet it is. You're talking about God. You're talking about that which you can't put your hands on, your mind on, in any way, shape, or form. The peace of God which passes what? The power of God that is above and beyond all that you ask or think. The love of God that is beyond. You're in the middle of it. You're in the middle of it. In front of you and back of you and the bottom and the top. You couldn't explain it. You couldn't try to. You can't. All you can do is bathe in it. That's all. Like you can sit in the ocean. Now you can enjoy the ocean. There's no way you can scoop it up and can have it grasp on it. You can't do it. You can't do it. God, would you help us? So we don't do that. Enlarge our understanding, God. Let God be who he is. And in the light of everything, what God does. We are reading. That's why we read the word. That's why we read those words. So we never know it. God, you aren't doing such wondrous things, it seems, in the world at the moment as we look out. Compared to Israel and Pharaoh and all of that. Well, God, what do we know? God, as we read your word, it awakened, I hope the little chit-chat awakens your attention about God's person. Awakens, that's what we're reading. That's why I'm reading it. So I get stirred up a bit. Wow. And what does it do? It helps me to know who God is. What is your name, God? God said, let me help you find it out. Let me help you discover it, what my name is. You see. Learn what my name is. Wow. God, it's all about, when I'm done reading, I look up and there you are. And even if I don't understand, I don't need to understand it all. Who could possibly understand it all? I don't have enough lifetime to understand it all. If I had 500 more years and I studied 3 more hours, I couldn't even get close. I don't even get close now. I don't even get close at all. Wow. God. But we're more assured, aren't we, of God's wonderful person. And that's what it's all about. It isn't about me to master this, because if the Lord were to take us now, you're going to take your Bible? Are you going to need your Bible? No, you don't need your Bible. You just need God. So that's what I'm learning. That's what you're learning. God help us. It's extraordinary. God, you are being who you are and becoming all that is needed. Wow. Perhaps you have a particular prayer request as we